Well, we had a great time last night hearing from our guest speaker, our keynote speaker. And it's amazing to have a young man who has a heart for missions, a heart for the gospel going to the ends of the earth. And it's great to get that mission vision into our hearts, into each and every one of us. You're never too young or too old to get that mission vision, to build that fire, to go into the ends of the earth proclaiming the gospel. So I want us to welcome and receive from Pastor Josh Lockhart.
I stand up here and I'm just the only thought that can really just come to my brain is God is so amazing. Yes. I mean, from the worship to what Pastor Daniel said before the or after worship, and I sat there and I leaned over to Josh and I said, man, he just said my message. And then Pastor Greg leans back and he goes, that's how you know you're on the right track. And I'm like, shoot, sounds good. And I love what Pastor John Boyd just said, you know, I mean, the gospel is, it's the power of God. And I just noticed about 2 hours ago that I forgot to tell you my title of my message last night. So I will not forget to tell you the title of my message this night. Tonight, and it is the power of the gospel. Who would have thunk it, you know? Let's go to Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Yeah, the theme. We are the ends of the earth. I talked about it last night, and it had me perplexed. What does that mean? We are the ends of the earth, right? And we're going to talk a little bit about it tonight. And we talked about also that thought process that Pastor Daniel has been speaking to Living Way, Poway about us, is how far, man, let's look and see, yeah? How far the gospel has come. Yeah, we're 2017 years ago, Jesus was born and split time in half. You know what I mean? Like BC AD. That's pretty crazy. 2017 years later, and the message that he brought through his life and his actions and his ministry, it's still going. And I love what Pastor Greg says at our church. I mean, he says it every so often, but he also says it a lot on Easter. And he says, we get to celebrate 2,000 X amount of years of people not shutting their mouth about the gospel. Of not keeping the secret or the kingdom of God quiet in their heart. That's the power of the gospel. And tonight I want to talk to you guys about last night. We talked about how far the gospel has come and how it went from just as lightning comes from the east and shines to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. That the gospel is moving and it has moved and it's going to continue to move. Yeah. Right? Yeah. And how tonight, I ended it with, man, we can reach the last portions of this earth. Yes. In our lifetime, it can be reached. If every single one of us does what just goes out and makes relationships and builds friendships and lights people's fires with the gospel ourselves. And tonight, if we're gonna do that, we gotta grab a hold of what this message is. Right? Because if I'm coming along and I'm driving and I want to go to Disneyland and I'm from here, I'm coming out of Poway, if I don't fill up my gas tank, I won't get so far. Right? But if I know that I'm, when I get to this point in my journey, I'm going to have to refill. I'm going to have to check in at the gas station. I'm going to have to check in at the pit stop. I'm going to have to check in with the gospel. That's what I want to do tonight with everyone. I want us all with soft, open, wide hearts to check in with the gospel and the power of God that comes with it. Because that is the only way that we're going to be able to reach the end of the earth. The earth that you are, wherever your earth is. My earth looks different than your earth. My world looks different than your world. I wake up every morning at about 5:30, and I get ready for work, and I go to work, and I work at an elementary school, and I believe with all my heart that God has placed me in a position where I can affect the next generations to come of my community in my kids. That's my world. What's your world? What's your earth? Man, if you want to reach your earth, you got to know what you got to know the message and the power that you're bringing with you. Yes. Yeah? Yes. We talked about last night how Jesus showed his disciples and ultimately us how the gospel would look like through his life and ministry, and the Holy Spirit would show them where to take it. And tonight we're going to talk about how far the gospel has to go. Instead of has come, has to go. Right? It starts with us. This is a missions conference. All the missionaries, raise your hands. Oh man, put up your hands. Everybody in the house. That's a trick question. Everybody put up your hands. From the young to the old. If your neighbor's not putting up their hand, give them a nudge. Come on, put up. Man, we're all missionaries. We're all missionaries. This verse is directed specifically to the disciples, but the disciples come out and they wouldn't be quiet about this message. Let me see it in Matthew 28. Jesus gives the command, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, man. I love this last part of the line. Be sure of this, that I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Can you think about this? Just grasp this real fast. That as Jesus is giving this proclamation, he's rising up to heaven, and the last words that he wants his disciples, his people, the people who are bringing the gospel to the ends of the earth, is that I am with you. I am with you. That you will not go unless I lead you. And where I lead you, I will give you the provisions, the ways and means to do it. Bam. I am with you. Oh. I remember one time, Pastor Greg, we had an altar call at our church. And he asked for us to come up and help pray with the people. And he came and he gestured for me to come up. And all he said was, Josh, as he anointed my hands with oil, he said, Josh, God is with you. And oh my Lanta. Did I feel like I was one ear to God's mouth to my mouth coming out to the people I was praying for. To know that God is with you is an amazing thing. To know that, man, I just gotta show up and I just gotta tell my story. I gotta tell my story about the gospel. I gotta tell my story of what God did for me. And hopefully, I know for a fact that God's word, like we said, does not return void. That person will find salvation. I'm planting a seed every time I open my mouth. Every time I help someone. Jesus went around doing good. Yes. The call is for everyone. Kind of have a strange, kind of strange imagery when we hear the word missionary, yeah? A lot of times, first thing when I think of missionaries, I think like Nick Dalcom them in Lima, Peru, cruising in the jungles, bringing people wheelchairs, you know what I mean? Like crazy stuff like that, you know? Building houses in Mexico or funding and helping, small underground church groups in China, you know, or guys in white shirts riding around on bicycles through my neighborhood. But what I want to portray to you guys is we got to kind of try and get that imagery out of our brain. Because we're all missionaries. We're all missionaries. I mean, yes, you could be called to France or China or Hawaii. But ultimately, right now, right here, right now, you are called to where you are. It starts in Jerusalem, then Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Where are you right now? What is your earth right now? What does your world look like? Jesus, help me to affect my world today. So amazing. So if we are to go, then we must go with conviction. We need to know the message that we are bringing and the power behind it. And what better way of knowing it the power behind it than experiencing it for ourselves. Yeah? I have a quick video I want to show you guys. These gentlemen, one is like a, they're both like theologian kind of guys. But how they portray themselves, one's a theologian, one's an illustrator. They get together and they make these beautiful Bible stories. Imagery of themes of the Bible, books of the Bible. And right now I want to show this this quick video real quick.
There's this beautiful poem. It's in the book of Isaiah.
The city of Jerusalem has just been destroyed by Babylon, a great kingdom in the north. And all of these Jewish people, they've been sent away into exile, but a few remained in the city. And they're left wondering, what just happened? Has our God abandoned us?
Right, because Jerusalem was supposed to be the city where God would reign over the world to bring peace and blessing to everyone.
Now, Isaiah had been saying that Jerusalem's destruction was a mess of Israel's own making. They had turned away from their God, become corrupt, and so their city and their temple were destroyed.
Yeah, everything seems lost.
But the poem goes on. There's a watchman on the city walls. And far out on the hills, we see a messenger, and he's running towards the city. He's running, and he's shouting, "Good news!" And Isaiah says, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news."
Beautiful feet?
Yes. The feet are beautiful because they're carrying a beautiful message.
What's the message?
That despite Jerusalem's destruction, Israel's God still reigns as king, and that God himself is going to one day return to this city, take up his throne, and bring peace.
And the watchmen sing for joy because of the good news that their God still reigns.
Now, in the New Testament, we find this same phrase, the good news. It's the Greek word euangelion, and it's also sometimes translated with the word gospel.
And so when Christians say, "Do you believe the gospel?" they mean, do you believe the news?
But not just any news. In the Bible, this phrase is always about the announcement of the reign of a new king. And in the New Testament, the Gospels use this phrase to summarize all of Jesus' teachings. They say that he went about proclaiming the good news of God's kingdom.
So Jesus saw himself as the messenger, bringing the news that God reigns.
Yes, but the way that he described God's reign, it surprised everybody. I mean, think, a powerful, successful kingdom. It needs to be strong, able to impose its will, able to defeat its enemies. But Jesus said the greatest person in God's kingdom was the weakest, the one who loves and who serves the poor. And he said that you live under God's reign when you respond to evil by loving your enemies and forgiving them and seeking peace. This is an upside-down kingdom.
Now, Jesus also said that this kingdom was arriving with him.
Yeah, so for example, there's this really interesting story where there's a high-ranking Roman officer, and he comes to Jesus begging him to heal his servant. And he even calls Jesus his Lord, acknowledging that Jesus is his authority. Jesus praises this man for recognizing what no one else yet had, that not only was Jesus announcing God's kingdom, he was the king.
And so the word gets out that this Jewish man from Galilee is talking and acting like he's the king of Israel. He's appointing 12 disciples, which are an image of Israel's 12 tribes. He's healing people, forgiving people their sins.
And all of this so threatened Israel's leaders that they finally decide to have him killed. And Jesus let them.
Yeah, which is a weird thing to do if you're trying to become king.
That's right. But for Jesus, this is what had to happen. Jesus saw the sin and the devastation of his people Israel as just one small part of the entire human condition. How all humanity has rebelled against God, resulting in the tragedy and devastation of our whole world. So how is God going to bring his reign over such a world? Jesus believed it would be through an act of sacrificial love for his enemies. This is why in the Gospels, Jesus' crucifixion is depicted as his enthronement as the king of the Jews.
Yeah, he receives a crown. He also receives a robe.
He's exalted up, not onto a throne, but onto the cross.
How beautiful are the feet that bring good news.
And the good news now is that Jesus has defeated death and that he reigns as king, that he's dealt with our sin and corruption himself and that he's conquered it with his life and with his love.
And then Jesus sends his followers to go out and keep announcing this good news of the upside-down kingdom.
And to invite everyone to give their allegiance to him, the king who defeated death with his love.
How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the messenger who brings good news. The good news of peace and salvation. The news that God of Israel reigns. The watchmen shout for joy and they sing. Before their very eyes, they see the Lord returning to Jerusalem. Let the ruins of Jerusalem break into joyful song, and let the Lord comfort his people. For he has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has demonstrated his holy power before the eyes of all nations. And the ends of the earth will see the victory of our God. This is the message that we bring. We bring it with beautiful feet because we have a beautiful message. We need to know this message right if we are to bring it to the people. If we want to seek and save that which is lost, as Jesus said, we need to know the power behind it. It is the message that sets us free. Romans 1:16 says this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. For in the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." I love how the message says it. This is what the message version says. "It is news that I am most proud to proclaim. This extraordinary message of God's powerful plan to rescue everyone who trusts in him, starting with the Jews and then right on with everyone else. God's way of putting people right shows up in the acts of faith, confirming that what Scripture has said all along. The person in right standing before God by trusting him really lives." I got this term of checking in with the gospel from Pastor Greg. And in 2014, or was it 2011? 2011, we had our very first presbytery meeting where we had Pastor Doug and Pastor Moses Vey, as well as Bobby San Miguel, come and prophesy over quite a few members of our church. And one of the words that Pastor Moses Vey gave to Pastor Greg was this, is that he said, "Pastor Greg, I want you to devote every Sunday, every first Sunday, wholly to communion. From beginning to end, let that one Sunday honor communion. And what communion is, and you give a teaching on communion." And the very first teaching we got was checking in with the gospel. If I've learned one thing from Pastor Greg, and I've learned many things, it's this. Never get gospel numb. Never get numb to the message that we bring with us wherever we go. Never get tired of it. Never think it's going to grow stale. And for a moment in my life, I thought I did. I remember reading through the gospels and just thinking to myself, "Man, I read this before. I read this before. I read this before." And thinking, I'm going to go read the epistles. Or I'm going to go read the Old Testament. Don't get gospel numb. It's the power of God unto salvation for those who believe. That's the message we bring with us. Young people, Pastor, my best friend, Josh De La Cruz, he says this. He says, "The young people in our generation have the most difficult mission field of all, because they are constantly being bombarded by media, music, social media, their friends, telling them who they should be and what they should do." Young people, know that you have the gospel of God with you, that you can come in and you can be bold where you are, and God will back you up. Aaliyah, one of her favorite verses is this in Romans. It says, "If God is for me, who can be against me?" Young people, you got to rise up. You got to know the message that you have inside of you. This treasure that you hold within you is not for you to hold for yourself. You are not saved for yourself. You are saved to save others. You are saved, you've been given the message to proclaim it to others. Just like when Jesus healed the guy that was demon-possessed. He comes in and the guy, it says in, I think it's Luke 8, that the guy lived among the graveyards and no one went there. He couldn't even be held with shackles. Everybody was afraid to go there and he was crazy. And Jesus comes in and the guy already knows, ah! Jesus of Nazareth, what are you doing here? What do you want? And immediately Jesus goes, you gotta go. Leave. What's your name? My name is Legion, for we are many. Don't cast us out. Cast us out into the pigs. Then, continuing on, the guy that gets saved, that's healed from his demon possession, he's begging Jesus, let me come with you. Let me be your guy. Let me be your guy. No, you can't be my guy. You know why? Because you have a testimony. You have a testimony of how the gospel of God has come in and entered into your life and changed you forever. All right, Jesus, I'm going to go. And he goes out and he begins to tell the towns and townspeople all over his region of the gospel of God. That's how the gospel of God should affect you. How do we check in with the gospel? It's simple. You got to know where you came from. You got to know where you came from, man. Genesis 3. Oh, yeah, we're going there. The serpent was clever, more clever than any wild animal God had made. He spoke to the woman, "Do I understand that God told you to eat, told you not to eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "Not at all. We can eat from the trees in the garden. Only about the tree in the middle of the garden that God said, do not eat from. Do not even touch it or you will die." The serpent told the woman, "You won't die. God knows that the moment you eat that fruit from the tree, you will see what's really going on. You will be just like God, knowing everything, ranging from all the way good and evil." When the woman saw that the tree looked good and was good for eating, realized that she would get what she would get out of it, she knew everything. She took and ate the fruit and gave some to her husband, and he ate it. Immediately, the two of them did see what was really going on. They saw themselves naked. They sewed fig leaves together to make makeshift clothes for themselves. We traded God's truth for a lie. All of us. It started with Adam and Eve. The Bible says, just as sin entered into the world through one man, we've all participated in it. From that moment on, we were eternally separated from God. We went from being able to walk and talk and hold hands with our Creator and our best friend to walking alone and on our own. Desperate, lost, hopeless, hungry, hangry, nowhere to go. Hangry, bro. I bet you those guys was hangry. Romans 3 says this, starting in verse 9. So where does that put us? Do we Jews get a better break than the others? Not really. Basically, all of this, whether insiders or outsiders, start in identical conditions, which is to say that we all start out as sinners. Scripture leaves no doubt about it. There is no one living right, not even one. Nobody knows the score, nobody alert for God. We've all taken the wrong turn. They've all wandered down blind alleys. No one's living right. I can't find a single one. Their throats are gaping graves. Their tongues slick as mudslides. Every word they speak is tinged with poison. They open their mouths and pollute the air. They race for honor of sinner of the year. Litter the land with heartbreak and ruin. Don't you know the first thing about living with others? They never give God the time of day. This makes it clear, doesn't it? That whatever is written in these scriptures is not what God says about others, but to us whom these scriptures were addressed in the first place. And it's clear enough, isn't it? that we're sinners. Every one of us. In the same sinking boat like everyone else. Our involvement with God's revelation doesn't put us right with God. What it does is force us to face our complexity in everyone else's sin. You want to be effective in living out the gospel? Know that you come from the same batch of dough. You're cut from the same cloth. Because when you know where you come from, you're able to see everybody and know that they were just as hopeless, just as broken as you were. And they need the message of God just as much as you did. Yeah? We sing that song. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Ooh, I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. Man, you were that blind guy. Yeah? You were that guy that was lost. You were that girl that was broken. They need it. They need the message that you have. They need the hope that you have. They need the joy that you have in Jesus. They need the love that you have in Jesus. Young people, your friends need you. Young people, your friends need you. Man, God is raising up, man, at our youth camp, I started dressing a little fancy to our chapel. On Maui, we don't dress pretty fancy. This is pretty fancy for us. You know what I mean? And to add the lay, oh my Lanta. That is like, whoo, you somebody important. We went to youth camp, and all I did was bring a button-up shirt. Like, that's all I did. And one of the kids goes, oh, Pastor Josh, why are you so fancy for? I told him, Vinny, you got to set a standard, man. You got to set a standard. What? What does that mean? Bro, you just got to set a standard. And I just let that marinate in him. Like, what does that mean? I got to set a standard. Man, with your life, you got to set a standard. Every one of us here, you got to set a standard. Yes. My standard is the gospel. Yes. My standard is I want to live, look, and act like Jesus acted. I want to be Jesus' hands and feet wherever I go. That I want to pray, God, get Josh out of the way. God, get Josh out of the way. God, let my automatics be your automatics. I want to be moved with compassion the way that Jesus was moved with compassion. Jesus went around doing good, healing all who was oppressed. Man, God, I want to do that. That is my goal. One of my goals this year is in Philippians. It says in the message, celebrate God all day, every day, and make it known to everyone you meet that you are on their side, working with them and not against them. Help them to know that the Master is on his way and he's coming soon. Bro, that's the gospel if I've ever heard it. Celebrate God all day, every day, man. And it says, and I mean revel in him. The love and joy you receive when you accepted the gospel is the same love and joy that you are bringing to those who yet have not yet received it. The same gospel message that searched you out, hunted you down while you were in your sin and your shame, is the same miracle message that you bring to others. The gospel is the power of God. As my worship team comes up, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the messenger who brings good news. The good news of peace and salvation. The news that the God of Israel reigns. The watchmen will shout for joy and they will sing with joy. For before their very eyes they will see the Lord returning to Jerusalem. Let the ruins of Jerusalem break into joyful song, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has demonstrated his holy power before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the victory of our God. Yes. The message again is simple. Know the power of the message that you bring. Have a moment with God tonight. try to remember. Remember the feeling of that hopelessness that you once felt. That Jesus, I need you. I need you, Lord. I really need you. That I'm lost without you. That I can't do this on my own. That the weight of my sin is too much for me to bear. So God, I want to give it to you. Jesus, I want to give it to you. Because you came, you said I can give it to you. You said in your word, come to me all who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God, give me the rest that I need. And Lord, power me up. Power me up, God. Let me receive your message with joy. Let me receive your message with love, that I may come and I can display your love wherever I go. That's the message tonight, guys. Have a moment with God while we sing this song. Have a moment with God. Try to remember, because that's what's going to drive you to reach the ends of the earth. That's what's going to drive you, young people. Amen. Can we sing this song? Let's have a moment with Jesus. Jesus, come, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus.